Go. As he brings the word today. Father God, we ask that your Holy Spirit would come afresh upon this time as we listen to your word and your teaching. May we have ears to hear and eyes to see what you're saying. And bless it and multiply it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Trevor. Good morning, good people. I hope not to trip up, but if I do, have your cameras ready. Okay, I might take some books. How is everyone today? Yeah, has anything interesting, amazing happened this week that you want to just shout out? Bob's. Oh, that's right. We had a good time on Thursday. Good time of prayer. Anything else? Life group. Very good. Okay. Anything else, or I can carry on? No? All right. So, is it two clicks? And then. Double click. Just to prove that I'm clicking. All right, okay. So today I'm speaking about water baptism. This is one of the topics life groups will be talking about. And I hope that this can be used as an extra resource, or maybe, you know, some material to bring a lot of discussion. You feel free to disagree with everything I'm about to say in your groups, but please do let me know what you disagree with, because then I can, learn something. I can learn something, definitely. Let me just adjust this, because the light is shining, right? I think there is fine. Okay. Oh, I nearly forgot my notes today. I left the house. We had everyone in the car. And, you know, Olivia, snacks. The kids were in the car, and we were about to leave. And I think I forgot something. And maybe God was saying something, you know, was giving me a hint. Yeah, just leave without your notes. But then I thought, I don't think I'm able to do that. I'm not there yet, but maybe one day. So this theme is, certainly you have heard a lot of sermons, you've read about water baptism, you've been baptized yourself, but we are going to look at a few things, and I'm hoping to make some sense, and pray that this will be helpful to all of us. But just want to share before we get into it that while we were praying here this morning, before we started, I did share with the people we were praying together. I had a picture as we were praying of this water bottle, just like a regular plastic 30p water bottle that we get from the kitchen. Thank you. And I there was like a lot of cups on this table, and I saw, you know, water coming out of the bottle and filling every cup. And although the bottle was small, the water kept coming out. There was no end to the water that was coming out, and the cups were getting filled up. They were actually overflowing with water. So I just want to declare that over every single one of you guys, that just that overflow of God's presence, just the overflow of his anointing, the overflow of joy over your lives, in Jesus' name. All right, so beginning with the meaning, really, of the word to baptize, we have the Greek word baptizo, which means to immerse, to wash, to make something clean with water, to bathe. And I came across this guy who was a Greek poet and a physician who lived around 200 before Christ, called Nicander. And he was famous for publishing this pickle recipe over your lives, in Jesus' name. All right, so beginning with the meaning, really, of the word to baptize, we have the Greek word baptizo, which means to immerse, to wash, to make something clean with water, to bathe. And I came across this guy who was a Greek poet and a physician who lived around 200 before Christ, called Nicander. And he was famous for publishing this pickle recipe. And in the recipe, he uses two different words for baptism that if we read our English Bibles, we actually only have one word. But he says, first, you dip the vegetable in boiling water for a short period of time, and that is bapto, which is temporary. And then you baptize, you baptizo the vegetable into vinegar, and you leave it, and as a consequence, it will be transformed forever. It causes a permanent change to the vegetable. Who likes pickles? Yeah. Yes. So I'm glad that we don't take this literally when we baptize people. Yeah, you don't keep them in there until they are permanently changed. The change takes place afterwards. Now, according to the Bible, this is a symbolic act, really, of identification with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And it's also a public profession. It's a public display of our faith in Jesus. And without the faith in Jesus, without the first baptism, I'm calling it first, as our baptism in Jesus, without it, without faith, is a meaningless exercise. Yeah, it's a public bath, right? So I'd rather, if it's just a regular bath, I'd rather have it in the privacy of my own home. Okay, move away quickly from that image. And it is an outward sign, yeah, of something that God is doing inside of us, right? A lot of the world today is about what you look on the outside, yeah? Makeup tutorials, who watches those? Well, there are many men who watch makeup tutorials, they do, yeah. But it's really all about what you look on the outside, expecting, yeah, that something would change on the inside. Well, God is all about an inward work, but it overflows, yeah? It causes something on the outside. I only have two slides today, but I have a lot of Bible verses. So it is a mix between I didn't have the time to make the slides, and also I didn't want to. I didn't feel like, I'm just being very honest. But yeah, they are taken from the Bible, the verses. So the first one I want to mention is 2 Corinthians 5:17. And it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So it is important to highlight that the new creation is in Christ. It's a tiny word, but it means a lot. It's in Christ. It's a union that takes place on the day of salvation. Yeah, you say, Jesus, forgive me. Come into my heart. Wash me clean. I receive you as my Savior, as my Lord. And that moment, something amazing takes place. You might not feel a thing, but something amazing takes place. So it is that union then that is symbolized by baptism in the water. So when when we are baptized in Christ, we become a new creation. Our spirit comes alive. Yeah? Although our body is still falling to pieces, it's still corruptible, the spirit comes alive. And with that, we're made children of God. We begin to hear his voice. There's just desire inside of us to do the things of God, to obey him, to love people. What a weird thing. When I gave my life to the Lord, I just began loving people I didn't really care about. That's amazing, isn't it? And that's what God does. That's the Spirit of God in us. Everything changes. The heart is washed clean. The Spirit comes alive. And on the day of water baptism, then we are publicly identified as new creations in Christ. So a few things happen. We experience the death of the old man and the birth of the new one. But of course, we are challenged to live a life of faith by taking off the old man and putting on the new. There is a change of address, right? We used to live in the power of darkness. We are now living in the kingdom of light. And the Holy Spirit also comes and places this sign around our neck that says under new management, under new ownership. Yeah? That's what happens. Now, if we look at water baptism as a wedding ceremony, we may get a few similarities there. And it's interesting that in the Bible uses marriage as a metaphor for God's relationship with us, doesn't he? That's going to be a great wedding when he comes back. Hey. So there are a few ingredients in both events, in both a wedding ceremony and in the event of water baptism. There is the verbal commitment. There is the exchange of vows. Yeah? I'm going to love you, care for you, sickness and in death. Or you can be a little bit more creative and make up your own, like I did. Don't remember them now. But I remember I wrote something nice. I made myself cry. So there is the verbal commitment. There is the profession of faith, right? It is based on what you have believed. The Bible says that with our hearts we believe and with our mouths we profess, yeah, we are saved. So there's an exchange. There's a verbal commitment. There is a sacred ritual. Wedding rings are exchanged in a wedding ceremony and in the water baptism. You go underwater and up again quickly, hopefully, yeah. I remember just a little side story. I can't remember who told me that story, but it's a very good story. So I think it was someone who had become a Christian and really wanted to be baptized, and he came to the pastor and said, "But Pastor, I'm still a smoker. I smoke. Is that okay if I'm baptized?" And the pastor said, "Yeah, of course, be baptized, but probably the cigarette is going to be all wet when you come out of the water." True story. And also, the third ingredient is that there are testimonies. You do that in the presence of others, your friends, your family, right? Both when you get married, even if you do that in Vegas, yeah? There are testimonies. Maybe not the ones you would pick, but if you're marrying in Vegas anyway, I don't think you would really have much time to plan. And the testimonies are, the people, the testimonies are there to cheer you on, yeah? Not only to stand there and witness, you know, this amazing thing, but they are there to cheer you on. So I can say that maybe I can say, well, I'm in love. I am financially and mature. I'm financially mature, and I love this person, and we're just going to go and we're going to live together. I made a decision, and we're going to live together. Am I married in the eyes of God? I'm not going to go into the legal matters because I think some countries may have different laws with regards to that. If you're living together for a certain number of years, in the eyes of the state, you are married. You have same rights. I'm not going to get into that. Already getting into that, but coming out of it. But are you married in the eyes of God? Now, without a public blessing, without the presence of the testimonies, I'm not sure you were married in the eyes of God. I dare to say no. And baptism saves the same purpose, if you think about it. Yeah, we're going to get a little bit more into that later. Now, Jesus doesn't want to date you. He's not interested in a 5-year-long engagement. He's not into that. He came to make you his own. Yeah? He puts a ring on you. That's what he does. In Ephesians 1:13, he speaks of the signet that identifies us as his own. Yeah? We are his property. That's what happens. On that day, you make it public. I belong to Jesus. Okay, another tricky question. Is baptism necessary for salvation? Is water baptism necessary for salvation? Okay, let's have a look at Mark 16:16. And it says, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." So I'm going to read it again because it's not on the wall. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Okay, let's think about the thief on the cross right next to Jesus, right? So he had first row, first row seat, you know, testimony of Jesus, the Messiah. It was right there beside him. And he said in Luke 23, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus says to him, "You will be with me in paradise." But first of all, you have to make your way down. Find a little river or lake or something like that. Get baptized. Otherwise, that's not going to happen. That's not what the Bible says, is it? No. You will be with me in paradise. I think a lot of people get saved on a plane that is about to crash. Right? Now, a person who may have a revelation, they pray, "Jesus, I'm about to die, But I believe that I can be saved if I give my life to you. We have just a few seconds left, but I'm going to run to the pilot and ask the pilot to divert and crash into a lake or some body of water so that I can experience some sort of baptism. No, it's... I don't think you have the time to plan that. But the Bible is clear. We cannot really just take this verse from Mark 16:16 can be controversial, but we actually need to look at some other passages that talk about the same thing so that we can have a better understanding. And the Bible is very clear about salvation. Salvation is by faith, not by works, right? So we have that in Ephesians 2:8-9, 2 Timothy 1:9, Titus 2:11, Romans 3:28, John 3:18, John 5:24, and the list goes on. Many different verses that say pretty much the same thing. Salvation is by faith alone. So in this verse, in Mark 16:16, we have two statements. The first one, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. And the second, he who does not believe will be condemned. Right? We have two statements there. Are you with me? Does it say anything about believers who have not been baptized? It doesn't. So if I say a dog with brown spots is an animal. Now, if a dog that doesn't have brown spots, then is it not an animal? No. So there is a rule, which is a complicated name. I didn't even bother taking note because I wouldn't be able to pronounce it. Scholars and commentators use a lot of this rule that talks about if a statement is true, not all opposites of that statement are true. Right? So if a statement is true, not all opposites of that statement are true. So if I say whoever believes and comes to Gateway will be saved, but those that don't believe will be condemned, I'm not saying if you still believe but don't come to Gateway, you will be condemned. Yeah? The key is believe. Salvation is by faith. So water baptism is not a requirement for salvation. But it's very weird to have been a Christian for many years and not baptized, in my opinion. Now, when you become a Christian, you will want sooner rather than later to be baptized. Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Make disciples and baptize them. So the process of me being a disciple is being baptized, isn't it? Water baptism is when you publicly seal a deal that you've already made in your heart, yeah? Where you're showing it to everyone present. Now, who is it for? Who is baptism for? Short answer, if you believed, yeah? For those who believe, baptism is for them. Those who have repented from their sins and believed in Jesus with all their heart, those who have decided to commit their lives to following Jesus, those who recognize their desperate need for a Savior, and those who have been overwhelmed by the Father's love and transformed by an encounter with Him. Now, the disciples in the New Testament, baptism meant a total allegiance and commitment to Jesus, regardless of the consequences, right? That was persecution. And even today, there are baptisms taking place in public and in countries, in nations where persecution is going strong. So that meant, and it still means today, total allegiance and commitment to Jesus. It is an act of obedience, isn't it? Jesus said, make disciples, baptize them. Who wants to be a disciple? Yeah, water baptism is part of the process. Now, if we go back to the Old Testament, there is really no mention of water baptism in the Old Testament. And now, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I couldn't really find anything that relates to that. And even if we think, when we look at John the Baptist in the original, that says John the Baptizer, he was doing something radically new, unheard of. Yeah, so much so that it was in his name. I don't know how many Johns there were, probably a lot. Yeah, John is a very common name. You can say, oh, you live in London, you know John? But when people heard John the Baptizer, they knew exactly what they were talking about. It was in his name. There are records of a type of baptism that was done by the Gentiles who became Jews, but it was very different. They were self-administered, and they were nothing like the total immersion baptism that John was doing. But the Old Testament talks about the need for cleansing, yeah? The need for washing before coming to the presence of God. So to enter the presence of God, a type of washing was required. And in Leviticus alone, at least in New King James Version, there are 34 mentions of something along the lines of without a ceremonial washing, a person was unfit to enter the presence of God. So I think there is a link there. Okay, we're nearly there. Thank you, Jesus. I heard that. Now, now, why was Jesus baptized then? Was he maybe just passing by and he saw what was happening? Ooh, that looks cool. I'm going to join those guys, get in the water and, you know. Matthew 3 says that Jesus left Galilee to the Jordan, to John at the Jordan, in order to be baptized. So he left Galilee with a purpose, yeah? There was a reason why he went to the Jordan, and that was to be baptized. And John's baptism was this very, very specific type of baptism. It had three ingredients. It was a baptism of repentance, of confession of sins, to escape the coming wrath. Did Jesus tick any of the boxes? Did Jesus have to confess any sin? Did Jesus have to repent? No. And John was well aware of that, so much so that it says, you come to me to be baptized? No. It's supposed to be the other way around. And earlier to that event, John is even sort of saying to the people, you know, I baptize with water, but there is this guy, his name is Jesus, by the way, he is coming, and he is going to baptize you with fire. And I am not even worthy to carry his sandals. You know, it's a servant's job, and I don't even qualify as a servant. So that very same guy came to him to be baptized. And Jesus' reply was, in Matthew 3:15, let it be so. For it is fitting in this way for us to fulfill all righteousness. Fulfill all righteousness. Do everything that God commands. Everything that God requires. And baptism was required, wasn't it? In your Bibles, if you have a look at John 1:33, this is John the Baptist speaking. He, capital H, who sent me to baptize in water, said to me. So he sent me. He gave me a command, the mission to baptize. That is a requirement. So God sent John to baptize in water. And Jesus, as a man, did what God commanded. Complete obedience to the Father's will. Now, when Jesus died on the cross, the Father treated him as if he had lived your life. Yeah, Jesus did everything by the book. So that hanging on the cross, the Father could see, yeah, he fulfilled everything. He was punished as if his sin were your sin. And because of that, the Father treats us as if we lived Christ's life. So he was a perfect servant, perfectly obedient to everything the Father required, including water baptism, so that his perfect life could be credited to our account. Isn't this amazing? He went through everything that needed to be done, every requirement that God had. And God said, the Father said, he is perfect. Now I look to you, Lot, myself included, through the perfect sacrifice of my son. He ticked all the boxes, even the boxes that didn't concern him. He ticked all of them on your behalf. So his perfect life could be credited to your account. All right, I'm just going to read from Colossians 2. This is verses 12 and 13. It's an amazing picture of water baptism. And it says, for you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away, then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. So we were baptized, buried in him, and raised to new life because we trusted in the mighty power of God. Now, baptism is also a public welcome, isn't it, into your new family. Right? It should be a time to party. Yeah? 1 Corinthians 12:13 says that we are baptized by one spirit as to form one body. Like in a wedding, whether you like it or not, when you're saying I do to your future spouse, you're kind of saying I do to their family as well, aren't you? The family gets involved at some point. But so that is why I think it is important to have a revelation of the body of Christ. Because you can't just say, all right, Jesus, I love you, but I can't do church. You won't say, you know, to your on the wedding day, on the microphone, you know, to the bride or bridegroom, babe, I love you, but your family sucks. You're not going to say that. I don't think it would be a right thing to say. But Paul had this revelation, didn't he? You're pursuing the church. Therefore, you're pursuing me. Right? No body, no head. That's the deal. You can't just have the head and not have the body. That's not how it works. And baptism, water baptism, is a public welcome. It's a celebratory welcome of a new Christian into that family. So the witnesses are there, not only to take pictures, but they are there to cheer that person on and be there for them, right? Because we need help. Babies need help, right? When Sibeli and Archie, well, Olivia is the first one that got ill a few weeks ago, and she was then spread a few germs to Sibeli and Archie, and then she was fine. But then it was, myself having to look after the wounded, and I couldn't just leave Olivia to, you know, go in and cook your own food, put your own clothes, and, you know, do this and that. She needed constant help. So that's what babies do, right? So when new babies come into the family, they need the help. They need the cheering on. All right, so I'm going to wrap up. Okay, just some of the highlights of water baptism is, okay, feel free to add more as you go and you have your discussions with your life groups. If you're not on a life group, come on, join a life group just for the sake of talking about water baptism. And then you won't be able to leave. Yeah, we have a strategy. Yeah. You come in and you can't leave. So it is an act of obedience. We saw that Jesus did that. Yeah. And it's part of being made a disciple. It is an act of obedience. It publicly identifies me as a believer, the believer that I already am. Because I made a commitment to Jesus. I invited Jesus into my heart. That's what makes me a believer. But that identifies me publicly as a believer. And it is a celebratory welcome into the family. Doesn't that make you look forward to our next baptism service? Yes. Hey, we need to get more people into the Alpha course. So if maybe there's some people here that have not been baptized or maybe thinking about, do I really have to? And or maybe thinking, you know, about, I love the head, but not so much the body. I want to encourage you to go and speak, speak with Brian and Mary. Whatever questions you have, guys, go to these two. But if you're in your life group, you know, speak to your life group leaders. Come and speak with us, okay? We can go on this journey together and, try and answer the questions and maybe, you know, plan our next day for baptism. We have a portable pool, which is fun to put together and fill. It's a good time of fellowship for the men who come. But anyway, so I'm just going to wrap up, really, and open this space for people who want to come and need prayer, whatever the situation. Today we sang about, you know, God being, Jesus being victorious. So he is victorious despite the circumstance we're going through. So if you feel that you need prayer for whatever the situation, please do come. Vision team will be happy to pray for you. Thank you. God bless you. Have a great, great week. Amen.